Hello and welcome to Outdoors in Scotland. I'm John Burns and this is my wee podcast for people who like to be, well, outdoors in Scotland, really. According to the weathermen, it's now, well, 1st of December when I'm recording this, and winter is due to arrive within the next 3 days, I think. They're confidently predicting snow, which is, of course, my favourite time of year. So I'm looking forward to that. And you know, I'm looking out at bare trees, so the autumn is waving bye-bye and the winter's about to come, so it's all very exciting here. My guest today is a writer and a photographer. He's done a lot of work for the Great Outdoors magazine, and I'm going to talk to him about a book that he's jointly published, a fascinating book, actually. It's called Scottish Wild Country Backpacking, and it covers very diverse routes, I think, through the Highlands. But I think the best person to talk about that is my guest, David Linton. Hello, David. How are you?
Hi, John. Yeah, good. Well, actually, yeah, a bit lackluster this morning. I've got my daughter's cold, but anyway, it's the season of snuffles, isn't it? But yeah, I've dosed up on coffee, so I'm.
Oh, well, that's all right. Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm duly caffeinated.
Probably high on drugs. That's probably the best way to do this show, really. To be honest.
Yeah, no, plenty of paracetamol and caffeine in my system, so that's. But we're raring to go. Yeah.
Okay. Now, this book, you wrote it with two other people. Is that right? Is that how it worked?
Yeah. So it's it was originally the two other folk on it is a guy called Pete Edwards, who is sort of half the time based in Glasgow and half the time based in Renegdale. I don't know if I pronounced that right, but out on Harris.
Right.
Most of the time, actually, I think he's based there now. I think he's kind of pretty much made the move across to the island, you know, for a good part of the year anyway, and a friend of mine called Stefan Dirkes, who's based in Edinburgh, and it was originally Pete's project with the publisher Cicerone.
Okay.
And then even before this little slip up, this pandemic thing, this small thing that happened to us all
that we've had, yeah.
Yeah. Even before that, I think, you know, Pete got in touch with me and said, oh, you know, do you fancy doing this together? I've got other projects that I'm trying to do at a similar time, and you know, it would be good to have it effectively just, you know, broaden it out and get a bit of fresh blood. And I said, I'd love to, but I've got a young family and I'm not sure I can manage to do, it's 30 routes. So that was originally slated, and that's what we've done. So we broadened it out again and brought Stefan into the fold. And so there's, if you like, there's 10 each. And then we cobbled together the head and the tail of the book between us. So that's sort of basically, that's how it sort of shaped up. And it took us, you know, Pete obviously had a reasonable head start beforehand, and then it took us. We in and out of lockdown. We were out. All of us were out, trying to work out what the rulings were going to be the following week, and then it sort of quickly nip out before we got locked down again, and to get the routes, some of the routes done. Some of them, of course, we had them. If you like, we had them in the can already. If you like, but they some of them still needed revisiting for photos or to check a, to check a particular part of the route, or, you know, some of them we went back two or three times. So, you know, as is the way of these things.
Yeah. So you chose some really diverse routes. I mean, it's from the Cairngorms right over to Jura, up into Sutherland. How did you choose the routes? Well, tell us about some of the routes that you chose.
So yeah, so I think one of the things that we've all said is that it's you know, it, obviously, you know, we think it's great, but we're biased. But I think it's fair to say it's a better book because there's three of us that have done it rather than it just being, you know, one person's experience or one person's vision or whatever you want to call it. So without over egging the point, we've perhaps got all slightly different kind of preferences or kind of background. So Pete's got, you know, brought a lot of coastal walking into the mix, and that's really his, you know, I mean, it's by no means exclusive, but he's, you know, because of where he's based, and he, you know, he's done a lot of guidebook work on, you know, in the Hebrides and on the islands. The Highlands and Islands is really his kind of thing, you know. So, and that's an area that, you know, I'd love to do more of, but I don't have as much experience. So he's kind of brought that to the table, and Stefan's a real, you know, a real bookworm. And I mean, that's what I love about his work, is that he's, you know, he's very well researched, and he's very, you know, he's very well read, and he really gets into the old texts, and you know, he loves that kind of, you know, that the old ways, you know, the kind of the old kind of Scottish hill tracks, and kind of and he's really into sort of, you know, really into that stuff. So he sort of brings that to the table, and I guess I've kind of got a slightly different flavor. I kind of I like the sort of, you know, perhaps the slightly more kind of you know, I'm not a climber, but I like to dabble, and you know, I sort of got, you know, a few more sort of slightly more exciting things in, and chucked a bit of winter stuff into the mix as well.
Oh,
So
right. Okay.
you know, sometimes these things, it's nice to do, I don't know, like we've got a few classics in there, if you like. I don't know, there's a, so for real, for folk who aren't newbies, they'll know some of these things. So, like, you know, there's a Traverse of the Fannocks, but instead of just going up and ticking the Munros,
Right.
we've done the entire ridge right from
Oh,
the
right.
first,
Yeah, yeah,
right
yeah,
from the
yeah.
first, you know, you literally you go up at the start, and you do the entire traverse, and but and then do it in winter. So it's kind of, so there are a few classics in there, but when we've got the classics in, we've tried to kind of give them a little bit of, you know, a shake up. Not to, you know, not religiously, but kind of we've tried to sort of mix it up a bit, and so anyway, there's, that's the sort of, I guess the diversity's partly as a result of the fact that there's three
Yeah,
folk working on it, and yeah, just, and as you said, there's, you know, we did, as the project progressed, we tried to sort of have a think about, you know, it's all very well. So you call this, you know, you call this thing, you know, Scottish wild country backpacking, and of course the emphasis there is, you know, it's wild country. We want to kind of take people out to sort of some sort of, you know, exciting, you know, places that they might not see, might not have seen before, or if they're just looking at the tick lists, they might not have kind of encountered before. But there's also, as the thing progressed, you kind of also think, well, actually, you know, we don't want to, you know, we don't, we want to make this, you want to make it so that if folk have only got a short weekend from the Central Belt, or even from further south, then they've got the opportunity to, you know, dip their toe. So, you know, one of the routes is, you know, well, in fact, there's a couple of routes based out of Fort William and Glen, you know, Fort William to Glenfinnan,
Oh, right.
you know,
Yeah,
so doable on the train, and then there's another route that's, that, you know, goes out of, goes, you know, goes around, if you like, tours round Ben Alder. So again, you know, not always looking towards the further reaches, you know, of country. So yeah.
Well, just so these, so essentially the routes, when you say they're you know, it's wild country backpacking, so I'm taking it, it's literally that it's designed for folk to be like carrying, self-contained, carrying their tent or maybe their bivy bag or whatever they're, you know, comfortable with, or a tarp, or I don't know, God forbid, sleeping out. It's and that it's designed for what, 2, 3 days, something like that. Is that what you've worked around?
Yeah, so I mean, it is, you know, it is a backpacking book, and so however people make themselves comfortable, tent, there's plenty of bothies on, you know, featuring in the book, and which I know will tick a box for yourself. And the, I think the shortest, so there's always at least one overnight, you know, so, and the shortest, you know, so in fact, one of those routes that I mentioned just now, you know, it's, it goes out from, just east of Glenfinnan, and covers a couple of corbets, one of which is called Streep,
Oh, yeah, straight well,
which
yeah.
you might know, yeah. And bothy on the way, should you want to, of course you can wild camp anywhere. That's just a very short route, and then the longest route I think is in the book is 5 days. So they're in a it's interesting how different people see that. You know, for some people that's like, oh, you know, like I spoke to someone the other week and they were like, oh, so it's really, you know, it's quite a gentle introduction then. It's just they're quite short routes. It's like, well, yeah, it kind of depends on where you're coming from. So I guess from a long distance backpacking point of view, you know, if people are talking about like, you know, being out for a month, then yes, these are short routes, 2 to 5 days. But there's a lot of ascent in these, you know, so we are kind of covering, you know, we don't shy away from the hills. It's not from the tops, if you like. So the idea really was just to try and get as much to take people away from, you know, a focus on lists and bagging, and to sort of and to try and do some justice to some of the topography, because you'll know yourself, John, from when you're, you know, when you're walking through places, you might kind of, you know, certainly the first time you go somewhere, you might be, you know, you go and get the tick, if you like, or get the Munro, or get the Corbett, and then you'll, you know, you might be at the top of somewhere, and you'll look down, and you go, well, that looks kind of interesting, and you know, well, that's a fascinating way through, or if I cut over that pass there, then I could get to that lock on there, or you know, and it's just really about, you know, giving people the sort of the permission, if you like, or the excuse to sort of go to do some of that exploring. And these are just ideas, aren't they? You know, they're not, a guidebook isn't the, you know, no guidebook is a Bible. You know, you don't have to, when it's not about dogma. So these are just really kind of hopefully just jumping off points for people to kind of do some, you know, to do some mooching around, I hope. Yeah.
I mean, although I can understand some people might say, oh, well, these are short routes. In practice, actually, these are quite challenging routes for people who, you know, don't have a lot of experience. If you're coming fresh to backpacking, I think you'd get a fair old shock as to where you were with these routes.
Yeah.
Do you cover things like, you know, what equipment to take, or is it, or do you, or do you, you know, like sort of assume that the person reading it, your audience, does have, you know, a fair degree of experience?
Yeah, so it is an interesting one about sort of perceptions, and I think with this is yeah, we so we're in the introduction, we have a hope, and it certainly seems to be the initial feedback anyway, is that the introduction's a bit more comprehensive than perhaps, you know, a regular guidebook. So especially the, you know, the sort of smaller format type of books that, you know, the major publishers, you know, Vertebrate, Cicerone, kind of, you know, they publish sort of little wee books, don't they, that you kind of chuck in a bag. And this is a slightly larger format book. So it's not really the kind of thing that you'd want to backpack with, but it might be something that you'd leave in the bothy, or you'd leave in, you know, on the dashboard of a hire vehicle, or in the B&B, or whatever. And it, you know, that would be the sort of, if you like, it's almost like a sort of a mini coffee table or a mini reference book.
Well, I think there's a lot to be said for that kind of book, really, because what I think one of the great joys of these kind of trips is really sitting at home, you know, maybe by the fireside, a nice comfy evening, and just going through these books like yours and kind of dreaming of these trips. Because that and then, you know, you can work towards actually realizing it. But so I think it's a great tradition of the kind of book that you've written, really, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I like those books, and also what that does, it does sort of two things. It allows you to do the sort of the dreamy planning bit, which is, you know, as you say, is really nice, and I enjoy doing that. But also it means that, I mean, I think the way that people interact with these things has probably changed a bit as well. So, and we, you know, of course, we when we were when we were in the process of making this thing, you do talk about these things. You know, so I think perhaps because people are using tech a lot more, you know, so they might photograph the guide, you know, they might take a smartphone shot of the kind of guidebook part of the book, and then they might download the GPX file, and that will be what they carry with them, and it just saves them carrying a, you know, a book of whatever size around. And then what that does is it allows you to do other stuff, you know, so it allows you to show the photos a little bit bigger, which I, you know, I'm pleased about because I take photos. And it also allows you to do, you know, what you just mentioned a few minutes ago, which is, you know, it allows us to kind of do this slightly more comprehensive introduction. So if people are brand new, so like, you know, some folk might be reading this and they might have done plenty of backpacking in another part of the world, but they might be new to Scotland. And as we know, you know, when you get to Scotland for the first time, the amount of sort of bog and wet, you know, both wet from underneath your feet and wet from the sky can be a bit of a shock. So and of course it does make it, you know, being slightly flippant there, but it you know, that makes a difference to how you travel and the ease of travel and the comfort with which you travel. So you know, there's plenty in there about, right, well, this is what Scottish backpacking looks like. It's not always that pretty. We try and make it look pretty in the book, but you know, the reality as well is that, you know, you are going to get wet feet regardless of what you've got covering your feet. You are going to get wet feet, so it's about how you manage that. And so and then plenty of stuff on, you know, Peter had, you know, lots of stuff on wildlife, and Steph's really interested in geology, and so hopefully we've made a bit more of a meal of that front bit of a guidebook, you know, and it
It makes a
becomes
lot of
something
sense.
that's a bit more meaty. That was another, I don't know how, you know, it was kind of an intended and half intended and half unintended consequence of making a slightly larger book.
I mean, I think one of the routes is through the Cairngorms, and it starts at Blair Athol. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, so there's a Blair Athol to Cynwysi route. I think that's one of Steph's. He's dragged me across that way a couple of at least a couple of times.
Right. I mean, the thing is, you know, I think it's easy to forget that you are going into quite remote country for people who, if you're not used to that, because I can remember one of my earliest experiences when I first came to Scotland was me and a couple of mates, we backpacked across Knoydart, and you know, we came from Merseyside, and I had never seen country like that before. It was a really memorable experience. I mean, people with an old canvas tent, I will point out, it was not lightweight backpacking by any means, but we did it. And you know, that was an incredible experience. And in many ways, a lot of people didn't do that sort of stuff those days, but it's become common practice now, as lightweight tents have become more affordable and better, a hell of a lot better than they were. So you're really providing, I guess, in some ways also, I suppose you're providing inspiration for people to do that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean that's the hope, isn't it? I mean, you know, if you like the thing that you're aiming for really with these, well, I think with these things is, you know, inspiration and information. So you kind of give folk, that lovely, as you say, kind of sitting down of an evening, dreaming of, heading north. That you give them some dream, give them some give them license to dream, but also then, you know, get the, then the tools to actually pull the thing off, and also then to step out of the way, you know. So I think this is the other thing, is that, you know, we live in a kind of there's lots of information, isn't there? There's lots of we live in a world of information where we live in a world of kind of almost too much information. It's easy to get
Yeah, we do.
overloaded. So I think there's a thing with guidebooks, and it's the sort of, if you like, the art of it. And I'm not saying that we've nailed this or by any means, but
No,
it's, you know, the
but
art of it. When I read somebody else's guide that I think is artfully done, I kind of go, oh, that's really clever. They've just suggested that, and then they've got out of my way, and then they've let me do the exploring. And then when people go into that place, like you say, with into Knoydart, for example, where, you know, when you go into these places for the first time, it is a real it's a real experience, isn't it? And you kind of you don't
yeah.
you want to let people have that moment of, you know, have these epiphanies, have that joy, have these joyful times of exploration, discovery. You want to let them do, let them have that, and not kind of be so you don't want to be over descriptive, and you don't want to, you see,
No. I mean, I think what you said about, we do live in a world of information these days. But I think the minute you walk away from your computer and you put a backpack on and you step off the road, in a way you step into your own experience, and in a way you kind of walk away from all that information, because nobody can tell you what it feels like to walk up a certain glen. No one can tell you just how bloody hard it's going to be to get up the next hill. That I think is the beauty of this kind of backpacking.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's I mean, and yeah, that's what we're hopefully we're aiming for, and hopefully we've kind of got it around about right. And then there's stuff in the book as well where we've, if you like, we've tried to sort of point out points of interest. So it's, in a way, it's kind of almost standard stuff for a guidebook that you would like. Oh, this hill's called this for a reason, or you might like to, but it's, again, because of the size of the book, if you like the format of the book, we've had a little bit more license to play with some of that stuff. So just pointing out some of the, if you like, part of the sort of the meta, if you like, of the book, or some of the underlying stuff that started to become more and more important to us as we kind of progressed it, was we kind of wanted to use it as an excuse to visit some places that, maybe had some environmental interest, or maybe some, human history, some cultural history kind of, in the mix as well. So it wasn't just, again, again, just getting away from this sort of slightly sort of tick listy kind of format or kind of
Well, yeah,
approach.
I think that's a good point actually, because we tend to think about the hills being fairly fixed and fairly rigid in kind of the sort of flora and fauna that exists, and certainly, but I think we're right now we are beginning to go through a period of change where places like Glenfeshie, if you'd visited Glenfeshie 10 years ago, it would look very, very different now because of the amount of rewilding that's gone on there. And obviously, they've reduced the deer numbers, and there are a lot more smaller trees. The forest is re-establishing itself, I guess. And I think maybe the same might be said of a lot of places in 20 years. The kind of green deserts that we've become familiar with, hopefully, will be sort of becoming a thing of the past by then. So actually, in some ways, what you any guidebook is kind of a snapshot in time. Is that a fair comment, do you think?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, and so, I mean, I live within a spit of Feshi, and I know some of the folk who work on the, for the, if you like, the holding company that looks after that land. Yeah, the change is dramatic. And one of the routes, comes off, one of the routes in this book comes off the Moyne Moor.
All right.
In a particular way, so that allows you to kind of view the glen in a, I was keen to kind of get, there's an old route that comes off the hill in a particular way that
Right.
is barely used, and it's sort of, I think in some ways it's quite nice to kind of keep these old ways open as well. Anyway, you get quite a unique view of Feshi from above, through one of those ways. But yeah, no, absolutely. I think, as well, one of the things I like about backpacking is that it's a vehicle for learning. So, and it's sort of a vehicle for learning in a very organic way. So because you're moving at the, sort of moving at, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that people have talked to, people like Thoreau and the writer Rebecca Solnit will talk about. You're moving at 3 mile an hour, or perhaps on some of this ground 2, or even 1 mile an
Even
hour.
1 mile an hour,
But you're moving slowly, you're moving through the environment slowly, and it's a sort of a vehicle for learning. So you learn about yourself, don't you? You learn
absolutely.
You learn what you can manage, you learn what's comfortable, you learn what's not comfortable. And of course, that changes over time as well. So it's a kind of an ongoing process.
Well,
But
I
you're
think
also,
it's in. Sorry, go on.
you're also learning about the environment. And certainly, you know, backpacking's allowed me to educate myself about the environment of, you know, both the natural and cultural history of Scotland. My, you know, so, you know, you can tell from my accent that I, you know, wasn't born here. My mum was born here, but, you know, I wasn't born or brought up here. So, you know, you go on a journey of discovery, you know, you go on dozens of journeys of discovery, and you kind of bump up to the same kind of stuff. So it's like, well, why do these peat hags look kind of tatty like they do? Why are there no trees on these hills? Why are there all these shielings everywhere? What's all that about? You know, and why do I keep on bumping into all these old ruins? You know, why are there these big ostentatious houses every so often? And these kind of, you know, why do these estates look like they do? So, and you start asking questions, you know, and I don't want to be prescriptive and tell people what to think about those things, but I do think it's valuable to think about them.
I think that's right, and you know, as you know, I've written the antidote to your book, the Hot Tent Diaries, which is actually about heavyweight camping.
Sure, no, it looks good. You know, I like a bit of that too. Yeah.
that's a different ballgame. But even for someone like me, who spent God, 40 odd years up here, far too long, really, to exploring these hills. I found that doing it slightly differently to it, you know, I got me a hot tent now. It's taken me to places that I didn't know before, and it's taken me, you know, given me a new perspective, which I think you can always find. And I think your book will probably give some people a different perspective as well. You know, what because we hear everyone says, oh, you know, the world has shrunk and communications have changed things. Actually, yes, that's true. But if you put on a pair of boots and haul on a backpack and start to walk, you'll find that Scotland is still a bloody big place, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm paraphrasing Stefan, one of the other writers here, probably badly. Apologies, Stefan, if you're listening. But you know, he describes Scotland as, and again, this is the bit I'm going to get wrong, but kind of, you know, exactly what you're saying. It's a little big country, so it's, you know, there's, you know, actually, compared to some places in the world, of course, it's, you know, it's a tiny geographical area, but it packs a lot in,
It does. It does.
yeah. So there's you know, or in kind of, you know, more, you know, in a more colloquial, a more colloquial way of saying it is that there's a lot to go at, isn't there?
Yeah, that's right. That's
Basically,
right.
so especially once you get sort of, you know, up into the Highlands, there's a lot to go at, and there's a lot to, you know, you can go in, and no glen's ever the same.
No, it's not.
Each other, and it's never the same twice either. So, you know, I was up our local Munro, it's Achailiach, at the back of Newton Moor. And I was up there the other, a couple of days ago with my partner, and you know, it's a different walk each time. You know,
Yeah, it
it's
is.
perhaps not the most interesting Munro, but it's every time is different. And it's, you know, it's and that's just one hill, you know. So, and
That's
there's
right. That's right.
There are many, 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 many places to visit. Yeah.
Well, thanks for talking to me, David. I think you're Scottish wild country backpacking. I think that's going to be an inspiration to an awful lot of people, and I think maybe a springboard for folk to sort of try one of these routes, and then, you know, pick up a map or and just decide where they're going to go. But fascinating talking to you, David, and thanks very much for coming on the show. A real pleasure.
Cheers for having me, John. Appreciate it.